In 1992, a movie came out that had great acclaim, and even today, historic American cinema is well remembered. The movie was A Few Good Men, and the scene that is most memorable in this movie pits Jack Nicholson, who is a high-ranking military officer who is hiding something that went wrong out in the battlefield. He's in the witness chair, and Tom Cruise is interrogating him from the prosecutor's stand. And in a scene that is packed with emotion and courtroom drama, we find Tom Cruise turning and yelling at a high decibel from behind the prosecutor's stand. He yells to Nicholson, "I want the truth." And Nicholson replies in like decibel, "You can't handle the truth." I don't know that if that scene doesn't, at least in some way, resemble the people of the United States, our culture, our class, and our relationship with God. As a church, strong or weak as we are, we're crying out for God's truth. We want God's direction. We want God's favor. We cry out for the truth of God, and God may be in the heavens just smiling, thinking, "You guys can't handle the truth." And in fact, he'd be right. As a country, as a culture, as a class, we can't handle his truth. We've never been able to handle it very well at all. But today, different story. Bigger picture. Because of this reality that our culture and our class, our country has moved, is moving so far to the left and embracing thoughts and ways that even 20 years ago we would have never thought of, couldn't believe it would happen, and yet it's a reality in our life today. Because the truth of God is being challenged today at every corner, not just in the public square, but in the schools, our children's schools. And with pressure being put on at every level, we need to remember that God is a God of absolute truth. And for that reason, I want to begin a series of messages with you this morning called Truth Absolute. And we're going to be looking at some of the truths of God that are being challenged today in our country and culture. And just to affirm again, God is holy, and he is a God of absolute truth. Now, we all are aware of the tension that exists between the holiness of God and the behavior of men. God is perfect holiness, okay? Immeasurable. He is absolute perfection. He defines holiness. And our behavior is somewhere down here, lost in the stratosphere of our good deeds reconciled against the holiness of God. God tells us that even those deeds are but filthy rags. But mankind sees this tension between the holiness of God and the call of God in His Word for man to be holy. And mankind sees the holiness of God and that tension that exists between His call upon our lives and our behavior, where we are. And now we've got a choice to make. We can look at that tension that exists, and we can fall on our knees in repentance and faith and cry out to God for His goodness and His mercy by sending His only Son to make that gap complete, to knock that wall down between us, to open up communication and fellowship between God and mankind. However, there's another group of folks who aren't going to bow down in repentance. They're going to stand up in rebellion. And they're going to be angry at the fact that God is God and He's calling us to a standard of holiness. They're going to be angry that they feel that God thinks He has hold of them. But in fact, we know that their lives are in control of the enemy of God, of Satan. Satan has hated the Word of God since the beginning. You remember with Eve? All he did was try to get her to doubt or to question the Word of God. Satan has hated the truth of God, the Word of God, from the beginning. And he continues to this day to attack now in multiple ways. Now his attacks are a thundering herd. With an anvil, a hammer, he attacks the Word of God, trying to knock slivers off, to change the meaning, to get a new understanding. With scissors and paste, he comes to the Word of God and he cuts out portions. And he puts other things together to bring confusion. And soon his mob of rebellious people, people who hate God and are doing the bidding of the enemy, soon they begin to rise in their anger against God and against His Word. And they begin to attack His Word. And that has happened all through the centuries. For instance, let's use the example of cohabitation. We used to call it living together. If you're, I don't know, 40 or over, all of our 40-year-olds are gone today, so I don't know if that's the case or not, but somewhere 40, 45, you were raised in the culture that said living together was wrong, right? I mean, nobody questioned it. Even non-believers believed it was wrong. So those who did it were considered, you know, the outsiders, the rebels. But it was not in any way an adoption in our culture that was right. It was always wrong. But not today. Not today. In fact, it is a cultural adaptation now in our country's mindset. living together. Well, who's right? There's been a cultural change in belief system. Then who's right? And who's to judge who's right? It had to have started something like this. Two guys, farmers, working alongside each other, repairing fence one day. And one says to the other, you know, I'm not saying at all that I believe that it's good for a man and woman to get married, I mean, to live together before they get married. Now, I'm not saying that, but just let me tell you about my niece. My niece, she's a great girl. She and her boyfriend just graduated high school, but my niece's family is moving away, and so she has to find an apartment. And she's going to the county college, so she's trying to better herself, but she also has a job. But between working and her studies and the student loans that she's compounding, it just seems like it would be a good idea that she move in with that guy. They want to. And then suddenly, a phenomena shift. Seismic shift. Suddenly now, situations, circumstances, truth is no longer going to be defined just by thus saith the Lord. It's now going to have to be adapted to the circumstance. Well, doesn't it make sense that she move in with her boyfriend? Well, I guess if you go purely by logic, okay. But we've never been a people of pure logic. And so now the liberals took control, and they begin to cry out that knowing God's truth from a lie, knowing what is sinful and not sinful, is not that simple. They declare with their little theological crowns on that you have to now embrace the circumstances. Well, again, who makes the judgment? When I was in seminary, we learned two words, two terms that we used incessantly. And the two words, the two terms were absolute truth and situational ethics. So I went to school at a time when that was the rub. Either God was absolute truth, or the ethics, the truth of the situation, was determined by the situational ethics. All the theological liberals were in this camp. Bible conservatives forever have said, God's word is true. God's word is truth. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You remember those terms? And then we took out the I believe it and just said, God said it. That settles it. Whether I believe it or not. Well, folks, somewhere along the line, somewhere we have lost that fervor. We now, in our post-Christian society, we now have this convoluted system of judgment and justice where the opinion of fallen man has the right to judge situationally the absolute truth of God. That's our culture. Please listen carefully. I know it's not good to have quotes, and especially long quotes, but I want to read to you something, and it's excellent. He hits the nail on the head. His name is Matt Slick. He is from CARM. You may have seen it online. It's the Christian Apologetics Research Center. And in commenting on this perversive belief today, this what we used to call situational ethics, today they call relativism or moral relativism. It's the same thing. It's our morality is relative. It's not based upon thus saith the Lord. It's relative to the circumstances. See? They're still on that. Listen to what Matt Slick says. He says, unfortunately, the philosophy of relativism, what we're talking about, is pervasive in our culture today. With the rejection of God and Christianity in particular, absolute truth is being abandoned. Our pluralistic society wants to avoid the idea, we want to avoid the idea that there really is a right and wrong. We want to abandon the whole concept of right and wrong. This is evidenced in our deteriorating judicial system that has more and more trouble punishing criminals, and our entertainment media, which continues to push the envelope of immorality and indecency, and our schools, which teach evolution and social tolerance, etc. In addition to all this, the plague of moral relativism is encouraging everyone to accept homosexuality, pornography, fornication, and a host of other sins that were once considered wrong but are now being accepted, even promoted in society. It's becoming so pervasive that if you speak out against moral relativism, it's anything goes. You're labeled an intolerant bigot. Of course, this is incredibly hypocritical of those who profess that all points of view are true, yet reject those who profess absolutes in morality. It seems that what is really meant by moral relativists is that all points of view are true except for ours. An absolute God, a moral absolute, and an absolute right and wrong. Some typical expressions that reveal an underlying presupposition of relativism are comments such as, well, that may be your truth, but that's not mine. That may be true for you, but not for me. There are no absolute truths. You see, with this moral relativism, This culture of judgment that we've entered into, two people can go through the same thing and one be deemed right and one be deemed wrong. Where's that going to go? Those who have the power. And this moral relativism has changed the landscape of our country. This attack on God and His Word has changed the belief system of our nation. For instance, in 1997, 50% of Christians. Now, understand, it was took this test, and it said, "Are you a Christian?" Well, how many people, if you went outside right now, shook their hands and said, "Are you a Christian?" How many of them are going to say yes? Yeah, 90+%. So that's who this is. 90+% and 50% of everybody who said they were a Christian said they believed in moral absolutes. And 25% of non-Christians said they believed in moral absolutes. That's 97. In 2000, 38% of American adults said absolute truth exists. In November of 2001, the poll dropped in half, discovering that it went from 38 to 22% of American adults believed absolute truth exists. Why November 1, 2001? Because of 9/11. At the time, you would think people would turn to God for help, they apparently begin to question more incessantly. In September, 9/11, a study shows in 2007, a pie chart example of American beliefs. Here's what I mean. Take a pie chart, cut it into thirds. One third of Americans believe absolute truth is a reality. This is in 2007. 33% believe that circumstances are the determinant factor in right or wrong. And 33% were undecided. That was 07. In 2014, raw data uncovered that 9% of teenagers today believe there's absolute truth. That is less than 1 in 10. These are young people starting their lives, and they've got nothing to build on. They are building houses upon the sand. But y'all, as bad as all this is, the worst part is that it's happening in the church in numbers like never seen before. The people of God are questioning some very basic foundational principles they have always believed and held to as a part of their undergirding. And now, the pressure from culture is invading the house of God. How in the world can we convince a culture headed toward destruction that absolute truth exists when we don't believe it, when we're questioning it? We can holler about the culture and size up the government according to what we think. And we can point fingers and we can throw blame. But 1 Peter 4:17 says that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. We must draw a line in the sand. And we must stop being influenced by deception and lies. Yes, Jesus is still the only way to the Father God, Creator. Yes, marriage is still holy unto the Lord between a man and a woman. And in these next days, we're going to look at some of these issues that we can affirm who we are, what the Word says, so that we can draw that line in the sand.